Welcome to Denver 8's coverage of the annual budget presentations for the City and County of Denver's next fiscal year. These open forums are used by the mayor to explain to members of City Council and the public the detailed recommendations for city agency budgets for the year ahead. Before we begin, here is a list of departments presenting during this session.
Everyone, thank you for joining us. I'm Amanda Sandoval, and I'm District 1 Councilwoman, and I'd like to go around the table. We have Parks and Recreation with us here this morning.
Skye Stewart, Mary Hancock's Legislative Director.
Alan Salazar, Mary Hancock's Chief of Staff.
Kevin Dreyer, Deputy Chief of Staff.
Murphy Robinson, Chief Operating Officer for the City.
Amanda Sawyer, District 5.
Paul Cashman, South Denver, District 6.
Jamie Torres, District 3.
Brendan Hanlon, Department of Finance.
Stephanie Adams, Department of Finance.
Laura Perry, Department of Finance.
Robin Kenich, at large. Good morning.
Kendra Black, District 4.
Good morning. Kevin Flynn, Southwest Denver, District 2.
Good morning. Stacey Gilmore, District 11.
And thank you. We have Director Happy Haynes with us this morning for the Parks and Rec budget presentation.
Thank you very much, members of council. Thank you for the opportunity to present our budget requests for this year. We start with just a little recap on our mission as a department, and that mission is embodied in the game plan for a healthy city, our department's strategic plan, which was adopted this past May. During this game plan process, we refreshed our mission statement, and this plan is and will be our guide over the next decade or two, and was our guide for the 2020 budget process, along with guidance from our Parks and Rec Advisory Board, which gives us a white paper with their recommendations each year, as well as the mayor's five priorities. So as our vision statement and our mission reflects, we really see ourselves as a department playing a significant role in the health of our city, and that's why it was called Game Plan for a Healthy City. It's just an overview of how we are organized to do the work in Parks and Recreation. We have three divisions: our administration, our recreation, and our parks. And the next slide just gives a little bit of information about what each of these divisions do. And I call out golf, which is a part of our parks division, but is an enterprise fund. And so operates in terms of budget a little bit separately from the rest of our parks divisions, parks and recreation divisions. Did I skip one? All right.
She did.
And I'm going to skip forward and then come back to that. Around the race and social justice issues, and start with our equity map. This is a map that reflects the work that we do. Everything that we do in our department is driven primarily by the issue of equity. And this map, it may be a little hard to read the small letters, but it provides the sort of index that we use to help guide our decisions for resources and programs and spending in our department. We call it our equity index. It includes park-specific criteria, such as the 10-minute walk, access to a park, the past investments that may or may not have been made in a park or recreation center, and park acreages and access to our recreation facilities. In addition to that, we use social determinants to help guide our decisions, including poverty. As I mentioned, health is an important focus, so we look at health data and collaborate very closely with our public health agency around some of those, both public health in terms of our residents and public health in terms of our environment. So these are the things that guide our decisions. And going back quickly, just a few examples of some of the projects that reflect those equity principles for us. The Swansea Park, where we're installing new playground equipment in Montbello, where we're installing some new lighting and walks, again, with feedback from people in the neighborhood about their needs. You have in front of you an expansion request to increase our recreation center hours in several of our neighborhood recreation centers that we believe will help create a more equitable playing field for the services in those areas. And finally, the day camp that we operate at the Swansea Rec Center to provide services to a very underserved population of young people. Pointing it the wrong direction? Yes, sorry. So these reflect a few of our key metrics. These are the traditional metrics that we have used to guide our performance under the budget for a number of years. In the future, you will see a different set of metrics that are more closely aligned to our recently adopted game plan for a healthy city. So we will, as we introduce those new metrics, we'll attempt to sort of tie them to what has happened in the past. This is an overview, just at a glance, of our expenditures and revenues and growth in full-time equivalents. You'll see a modest increase in the 2020 budget of 3.3%. It's about $2.5 million over the 2019 budget. A lot of this increase is part of the minimum wage increase that affects our department. Has a lot of employees, on-call employees, probably the largest number of any in this city. And so the minimum wage increase was an important a change for us to help make sure that we maintain our workforce. So we'll start now with the expansion requests, and we start first with our janitorial contract increase. This is an estimated price increase for the janitorial contract that we have that will be rebid in 2020. This janitorial service covers all of our recreation facilities and a few of our parks buildings, and is really an important and a key strategy for addressing equity across our system. The College View Recreation Center program, with the reopening of College View, which happened just a week ago this year, and with Johnson Recreation Center, the reopening of Johnson Recreation Center last year, we've reestablished recreation services in two of the three centers that were closed due to budget cuts during the last recession. The third one, the Globeville Recreation Center, still remains in one of our partners. It was just rebid this past year with a local neighborhood-based nonprofit, Birdseed, which is heavily supported by the community and provides great services there. So you don't mess with success, and so we will continue with that relationship, partnership. The next one is a utility locate response. This is a state of Colorado mandate, a bill that passed a little over a year ago that requires us to respond in a timely manner to requests about where our utilities are. As you can see from the graph, those numbers are going up significantly each year, and we need to be able to respond accordingly in order to be in compliance. The next one increase is for our recreation center small equipment replacement. As the participants in our recreation centers increases each year, there's a lot of wear and tear on the equipment, the small equipment that is used in our recreation centers. 3 years ago, we established a plan to really catch up and to maintain this equipment in good condition across our system. And again, we believe it is an important equity issue and issue of service delivery to ensure that all of the equipment in our centers, whether they're maybe a brand new center or a center that's been around for a long time, deserves to have equipment that is in good shape, in good condition, and functioning well. Did I pass one? Recreation center hours increase, and the Swansea Day Camp are the next requests that we have. I mentioned that briefly, that we're requesting increase in operating hours at several of our neighborhood recreation centers and continuing a day camp in the Swansea neighborhood that began with grant funding but we think is critical to maintain. And so this will enable our centers to stay open a little bit longer in the neighborhoods and for the summer day camps that in the Glouville, Elyria, Swansea neighborhood to continue to provide a safe place for kids during the summer. This map just shows the highlights of the impacts of our recreation center hour increase. And I will point out to you, the green dots are our regional centers. They have the longest hours. They are the most heavily utilized, and next are our local recreation centers that operate for 60 to 76 hours a week, and finally the orange or yellow dots are our neighborhood recreation centers, and you will see at the top of the screen are a number of the recreation centers that we are requesting an increase in hours. For those to be in line with other neighborhood recreation centers across the system. The 2020 minimum wage increase is part of this budget, and it shows where all of those dollars will go. You can see the 1.9 that goes to the recreation department, and $350,000 to our parks department for a total of $2.2 million. And again, I will reemphasize the fact that so many of our employees, our services are dependent on-call employees who provide services day in and day out. And without this wage minimum wage increase, we face real challenges in recruiting and maintaining our on-call employees that are a vital part of the services that we provide. This is just a snapshot. I know we will be visiting with you on Friday to go into greater detail about climate investments, but we did want to highlight the fact, and it is an important part of our goals and strategies in the game plan for a healthy city. We have included a number of resources, $3 million in the budget this year into Heron Pond, which addresses water quality and green infrastructure issues in the area north and central of Denver. We are committed to creating more climate resilient landscapes across our system. It's an important strategy in our game plan. We're committed to expanding our tree cover in across this city to address the effects of climate change and to contribute to flood resiliency and water quality across the system. In our mountain parks, the primary focus is around fire mitigation. A summary of our budget reductions that were requested to help ensure that the mayor's priorities and your priorities are able to be met. So we really conducted a thoughtful, we think a thoughtful process with all of our department engaged in where we can do the proverbial more with less. And so this summary just reflects the areas where we thought a decrease could occur without significantly impacting the services that we provide. This is a synopsis of our special revenue funds and some increases, expansion requests related to those. These are funds that generate revenue that allow these additional expansions without an impact on the general fund. So we're requesting to purchase an additional ball field mower, some additional equipment for our mountain parks and rangers, and some additional fitness equipment, cardio equipment for our recreation centers. All of these are funded through those special revenue funds. And you'll see at the bottom the 2A funds, which we'll go over in a little bit more detail in just a moment. So this is our golf enterprise fund, and our I'll remind you and those of you who have been around for a long time, and for our new members, that our golf division operates solely on the enterprise fund. So what they spend is what they generate in revenue. Their increase this year is a fairly modest increase. It's pretty typical of the increases that requested each year by the Gulf Enterprise Fund. And I'll point out at the bottom is the capital improvement projects that are included in this slide. And again, because of the Enterprise Fund, every capital expense that's made in our golf division is because they have generated that revenue in their special revenue fund. This is a similar slide to the general fund for golf enterprise, and in the expenditures and revenues, 2019 expenses were higher as we, our golf cart lease had to be reflected all in 1 year. So that's an accounting issue more than our expenses and revenues tend to be pretty stable generally in our golf division. And I wanna really give a shout out to Scott Rethlake, our director of golf, that with this new lease, we have converted our entire fleet of golf from gas operated to electric vehicles. And again, an effort to to reach our goals of sustainability in our department. The pie chart gives a little bit of a quick snapshot of the overall budget, including our operations. This is our capital improvement budget. So it includes our 2A capital budget as well as our annual capital maintenance and system enhancements. The system enhancement projects include a little over $1 million for the replacement of some synthetic turf at Parkfield Park's soccer fields, which are in terrible condition, and we would be faced with having to close those fields if we don't get them replaced soon. $3 million for the construction of the regional park at Heron Pond. And finally, $1.8 million for improvements to the Montclair Recreation Center Natatorium. And for those who don't know what that is, that's the pool at the Montclair Recreation Center. Next slide is just a detailed, hopefully you have it in front of you, it's hard to see on the screen, but this is a detail of the 2A fund for improvements, capital improvements in 2A for 2020. And these, of course, were presented to council earlier this summer. So this really is the same list that you previously approved. Just wanted to make sure that we included it in our overall presentation. I believe that should be the end.
Thank you.
Love to entertain any questions or thoughts that you may have.
Yeah, we have several people in the queue, but I'd like to welcome Mayor Hancock to the table.
Thank you.
And Councilman C. DeBaca and Councilman Clark. Thank you. So first in the queue is Councilman Flynn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Couple of questions on the equity map, the Harvey Park South and College View. The list above on the slide above that, I think on slide 7, I'm trying to get up there, list it says examples of race and social justice items. Do you have a more extensive list? Because I know you're extending some of the hours at College View Rec Center, but with regard to Harvey Park and Harvey Park South, are there any initiatives that are not listed on this on slide 6 that you can share with us, not just there, but citywide, in those other dark green neighborhoods?
Thank you for the question, Councilman Flynn. And I think the answer is absolutely. I don't have that list in front of me, but one of the reasons why I presented this map was to give you an idea that that is where we concentrate our efforts, and those questions that are listed there are the ones that guide us. So you're absolutely right when we're looking at where the gaps are in our system, what the demographics are in the neighborhood, where, as you have consistently pointed out, where past investments have either not kept pace or have not been there. Those are all considerations. And so when we make a decision like in a Harvey Park, for example, those are the considerations that are part of that decision.
And thank you, by the way, Councilman Clark and I both saw you at, I believe, Councilman, you also, at College View at the open house this past weekend. And thank you for Parks restoring that to our management and for the investments you're making there. Across federal in Harvey Park, with the work that's going on there, and it's kind of a little bit behind schedule with the lake and the dredging and converting irrigation to the lake water, folks are asking me, will that project also include replacing the asphalt walks, which are crumbling and in bad shape, with concrete? So there, and then in Pinecrest Park, just to the south of that. Is that on the schedule for this year, to concrete those walks?
I don't know if that's on the schedule this week, but Mike Bouchard is here, our capital projects director.
Thanks, Mike.
Good morning. Mike Bouchard, Parks and Recreation. So the Harvey Park Irrigation Project, the one you referenced, yes. Is going out to bid now through Public Works. The walk replacement will occur, but it'll be bundled with the bond project for the new parking lot and walks to the rec center entrance.
Okay, so not this year?
Not this year.
Okay.
It'll start design this year. Sorry.
Okay, what about Pinecrest?
Pinecrest, we are getting underway right now. Okay. We've got a consultant coming on board, and that's getting started this month.
Okay, thank you. And last question, Happy, is with regard to the pool hours. Thank you for extending them on the weekends through Labor Day, but I see that we're cutting that out for next year. In mid-August, when we close the outdoor pools and it's still 98 degrees, do we do that just because kids are back in school and the lifeguards have gone back to school and it's hard to staff?
Yeah,
those pools sitting there
thank you.
For another month is
thank difficult. You, Councilman, and those of you who've been around a long time remember when we came with that request a few years ago. Our experience has shown that the utilization of those facilities during those extended hours has been very meager. And we do face extraordinary challenges in getting staff for the summer. Our summer outdoor guards are generally college students who are headed back home. Very difficult to keep that. And some of our own high school students, by the way, who are headed back to school and engaged in other activities. It costs the same amount of money for us to maintain those pools for 20 people on a weekend as it does when we've got hundreds coming through. And so we just didn't think it turned out to be a cost-efficient a cost-effective initiative, and so we recommended, because we're trying to be find places where we can redirect resources to ensure that other high priorities in the city are being met, and so that was why we suggested that as one of our reduction proposals.
Thank you. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Black.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Happy. I just have a couple of questions. Can you talk more about how the 2A money is complementing your budget? I know people were concerned that we weren't replacing your ordinary budget with that additional money. So can you just talk more about how you all made the decisions, how to spend the 2A money on top of your annual budget?
Yes, I certainly can. I'll go to the slide. So this is a general overview of the categories of spending in 2A. And I will say, generally speaking, we have identified projects above and beyond what we have been working on in the general fund as a part of the 2A. So, for example, in our budget, I'll use our forestry division as an example. We have been using the dollars from the Emerald Ash Borer Fund that was developed to build and maintain, plant trees in the right-of-way to replace, to treat the current trees. In our 2A plan, we have an expansion beyond those plantings because we want to accelerate the pace of increasing our tree canopy in the city, so that increase is what we have targeted for our 2A dollars. So that I think that's one good example. And as we pointed out when we presented the budget for the 2A dollars, we consider those resources not some separate program, but a way for us to do more of what we're already doing in our department and in the services that we provide. Obviously, some of them are additional. So, for example, our resiliency planning that is a part of the two-way spending. It's something that we haven't been able to do within our current budget, and so we're really excited by the fact that with these additional dollars, we're going to be able to do some things around resiliency planning for addressing climate change, water quality, stormwater resistance, and so on, resiliency, and so on, that we have not been able to do in the past. So those are just a couple of examples of where we've tried to be really strategic about ensuring that the that this is truly growing the pie.
Great, thank you. And just a couple more questions. So it's really wonderful that so many people are using our rec centers, but I noticed that our golf rounds are going down. Do you know why that is happening?
I think Scott Rethlake is here, and he can add if I've missed it. I think primarily, Councilwoman, that is due to the temporary closure of the City Park golf course, and those rounds will spring back up when that golf course reopens next year. And since I'm on that topic, I'll give you just a brief update. As many of you know, we had hoped to be open sooner. Due to a number of complications in the project, many of which are weather-related, we had a very, very tough winter this year and a spring with extraordinary rain right when we were trying to get the areas that to contain that rainwater growing. And the good news is it absolutely, the system for the drainage purposes works perfectly, but we didn't have all the plantings established, and so we've been challenged. In addition to that, we took very extra precautions on protecting the existing tree canopy, the trees that we were trying to save. That process slowed down the replanting of the turf because of the special arrangements that had to be made for planting those areas that were in tree protection zones. So a combination of a lot of factors has delayed the project, so we won't be open until sometime next year. And as I mentioned to everyone, we will open when we're sure that the course is in good enough condition to sustain the kind of City Park is our most heavily used golf course, so we want to make sure that we don't open it prematurely and that it is grown in and mature and ready for play. That said, the clubhouse will be ready sooner than that, and we will be providing opportunities for use of that facility primarily on a special event basis until the full opening occurs. So just take that opportunity to give you an update on the City Park golf course.
Great. And my final question is about the Welshire golf course, and Scott Rethlake, maybe you want to answer that. Can you provide me with an update on the reservoir there and if there is major construction that needs to be done to get that project completed and what the status is on that?
Hi, Scott Rethlake, Director of Golf. Yes, there is major construction that needs to be done. We did put that project out to bid. It came back at double what we thought it would be. So we thought it'd be around $1.6 million. It came back at $3.2 million. It's a facility that generates us about $40,000 a year. So we just didn't feel like that was prudent to do it at that price. We're working with Stormwater to maybe do some of that work in-house and keep the cost down. So we anticipate going back out to design and bid for that project again to start hopefully next fall.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
That's my last question. I just want to put in a plug for building a park in University Hills North where we bought some property.
Thank you. Councilwoman Kanich.
Soon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I just wanted to say thank you for the investment in public restrooms in the parks, $850,000. This is an equity issue. The department did a map, and it shows that, like, for example, in Northeast Denver, there are virtually no restrooms in the parks. So there's definitely some equity issues and for families, and we are year-round park users in this city. So I think that's a great investment. Wanted to ask about a climate issue, which is small appliances. You mentioned converting the carts to electric, but the gas blowers and trimmers on gas are some of the worst, both in terms of climate gases as well as safety for the workers in terms of emissions and things. Is there an investment in this year's budget about converting those?
Thank you for the question, Councilwoman. Absolutely, and I think our Parks Operations team take great pride in some of the steps that they've taken to convert some of their equipment to less emission, less gas emissions. We still have a long way to go. One of the things that they're doing is exploring, because we also they also have to have equipment that works, and so they're exploring a lot of that. We had a recent staff expo in which we have vendors that come and share some of the newest technology and the latest innovations, and our operations people were all over that. They are very interested and aggressively seeking opportunities. So in our new equipment purchases, where we can identify and we are using specs that ask for more sustainable equipment purchases. So we're working closely with the purchasing office and with our own staff to identify those. So that will be continuing, and we will be this year. We don't have specific goals established yet, so they are working on those in terms of the equipment inventory and where we think the best opportunities are for making transitions over time. But eventually we will have a sort of a long-range plan of how we begin to convert as many of those small motorized equipment to a more sustainable equipment. So thank you for that.
Got it. Thank you. One quick plug. You mentioned the rec center small equipment replacement. I kind of live a ridiculous life between where my kid goes to school and where I live, so I use like 6 or 7 different rec centers. And one of the things that I've noticed, particularly in the smaller ones, Harvey Park is a good example, Athmar is a good example. Kids and families use these rec centers for more than just exercise, and like their kids are sprawled on the floor doing homework, eating dinner, because you know maybe your sister's in basketball and you got to do your homework. And I would really love to see us think more about the use of these centers the way that some of our suburban partners have, as community centers, so tables and chairs and more seating, and people are all over the floors in our smaller rec centers. And so I know space is a constraint, but I think a little creativity would make them better places for people to spend their time and use in the ways that people are already using them. They just aren't comfortable. And so I think that's an equity issue. I look at places like Hiawatha Davis, where there is an activity room and kids can hang out in there when they're not exercising. But many of our other rec centers, they're on the floors.
Yep. Well, so. Thank you, Councilwoman. Yeah. I'd if I didn't know better, I'd say you were, you know, lofting me a softball for responding. So, and I'll ask John Martinez, our Director of Recreation, Deputy Executive Director of Recreation, to add, but couldn't agree more. This year, John's team has been engaging in an exercise with support from Yolanda Quesada in our communications and marketing for really creating a community engagement strategy, and that is all built around the notion that our recreation centers are important centers, not just places to play and for fitness and for fun, but centers in our community centers. John is expanding programs that provide for homework help for kids, recognizing that they're, you know, this is a good place for kids to be, and not just to play basketball and to swim, but to do what you know, is interesting to them and to meet their needs. So they're doing an evaluation in each of those centers about how to better serve a much broader array of activities and uses in their centers, and they're using this community engagement strategy to identify with their users and with the families and kids that are there, what would they like to see, what would help, them in the use of the facility, and also encourage them to come more often and to be more active in our facilities. So, I will end with, for those of you who use a lot of our centers, we always welcome the feedback. John's team is relentless in asking for feedback about, you know, what it looks like, how it feels, how the people are treated, and so we welcome your continued suggestions and feedback.
We're in touch often. I'm like a secret shopper. I can tell you which showers are broken and whose water fountain doesn't work.
Shopper.
One last question.
Yes.
Dog parks. I can't find a line item.
Yes.
And we have been punting and punting and planning and planning. Are we investing
in
some dog parks?
So we don't have a specific line item for dog parks. It is part of our overall parks initiative. We have just completed an update, a technical update of our dog park master plan. So we'd be glad to share that with you. So as we're looking for, when we're thinking about acquisition and gaps, we have in that master plan, however, created a very specific process, because as you know, this issue has been fraught with challenges, with some people wanting them on every corner and other people saying not in my neighborhood. And so we've created with that update a community-based process that will enable folks to identify where there are needs, but also a process that a whole community can use for us to identify new locations and places to create dog parks that's collaborative in a neighborhood, and hopefully cuts down on some of the divisive concerns that have been raised with them in the future. So look for continued growth and opportunities for creating dog parks where we have gaps. And we're going to be very creative about those opportunities.
Okay. I'd love to see some capital spending coming soon.
That would be included, both in terms of acquisition and in terms of building out facilities.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have Councilman Ortega, and then we have three other in the queue, so I just want to make sure we do a time check. We have about 15 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Happy.
Good morning.
Do you have a number of how many of our rec centers still need connectivity? And at the rec centers that do have connectivity, do you have computer labs in any of them? Or computers that the public has access to?
So yes and yes. And now I'm going to let John fill in the details.
Okay. So let me just preface why I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're gearing up for the 2020 census, we're trying to identify all the locations. So community centers, rec centers, libraries.
Yes.
And we want to map them so that we know and we can send people in communities to where they can go, because this is the first time it's an online application. And it will also help for a lot of the classes where people have to sign up online to be able to do that if the parents are coming in. Otherwise, we want to make sure you also have hard copy for, and this came up at Swansea a couple of years ago, but so for those two purposes, I think it's really critical.
Absolutely.
That we have
while John
that
is making his way to the to the microphone. Sorry, John. I'll start out. So couldn't agree more. The census process is critically important. Our recreation centers will play a vital role in that, and I hopefully even other opportunities with our sports programs and so on, wherever we can reach people and provide access, we will certainly do that. We have been working for a number of years on a plan to increase the connectivity in our centers, and it's been a steady increase. John will talk about it. I think we will, by the end of this year,
have that
completed. We only have a few centers that were not there yet, but we will be there. And then John will also talk about the effort he has been making and included in this year's budget and last year to add some computer labs in our recreation centers. And it's just piggybacking on the point I was making a few moments ago to Councilwoman Kanish that we really see our recreation centers as much more community centers and places where kids can come after school and get their homework done and get encouragement for the things that they're doing in school as well. But
John, just so you know, we raised this with IT yesterday as well.
Great, Councilwoman. Good morning, John Martinez, Parks and Recreation. So the first question is, we have, out of the 30 rec centers, 27 currently have Wi-Fi. So we have three remaining centers that will get Wi-Fi by the end of the year. And out of the 30, five are only have streaming right now because of security. But by the end of the year, all 30 will have Wi-Fi and streaming.
Great.
So that's great news. And as Happy mentioned, we've been working on that for a number of years. And then the last couple years, we've made an intentional effort to look at computer labs, as Happy mentioned, with the community engagement piece. So we have a few of those. Those are a little harder to work through because of the security with IT, but they have been working with us. We're also launching at every rec center. We're going to have iPads at the front counter to help with surveys. And so maybe that's something that we could tap into with registration as well as the census.
Awesome. Thank you.
And Councilwoman, I would just add with regard to the census process, and we will be making sure that our entire staff is trained and well aware of what the complete count committee is working on. We support it wholeheartedly, 100%, in whatever we're able to do as an agency to support the efforts of the city in that regard, we will absolutely be undertaking.
And just very last one, can you have someone follow up with me to let me know where we're at with the bike ped connection from the 39th Avenue channel to Swansea to make sure that that is in the pipeline to be funded, to make sure that this was all a commitment made early on. And the last time I sat down and went over this project with Diane and some other staff, that had not been included. And so I just want to make sure that continues to be a priority.
So absolutely, Councilwoman, that's a project that is a public works project, but we'll make certain. I mean, we are a part of the 39th Avenue project as it relates to the parks and the trail along the channel. But we will reach out to Public Works and make sure that somebody follows up with you on that.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Councilman Torres.
Thank you. Hi, Happy.
Hi.
So it just struck me as interesting. This is the first time that I think we've seen the minimum wage increases included in the expansion requests. Is this because... and maybe Parks has the largest component of under 15. Okay, I see everybody nodding their heads. Okay, just making sure I'm understanding that right.
That's why it looks, so enormous, because we are the largest user of on-call services.
And Brendan and Stephanie, maybe do you know, out of the whole pie of city employees that will see an increase, what proportion or what percentage was Parks?
80% was were the affected employees citywide in Parks.
Okay, thank you. So my next couple questions are just about the Park Equity Index and just wanting to understand how some of those factors are arrived at. One, the previous 10 years of investment factor, is that based on event or incident or kind of activity or project, or is it based on the amount of money that goes into that particular project?
That question about investment is how much money has been allocated and spent in that area.
All right, thank you. I know a lot of the projects in my district will be bond funded. Is that also reflected in this map? Or is this general fund?
So this map is, yes, those investments would be included in our considerations, but this map is a generic map that just talks about all of those factors and how we've applied them, but bond investments would be included in that as well.
Okay. And then just, I know it's probably a math reason, but parks, it says at the very bottom, parks factors given a 1.5 times factor. What does that mean? The single asterisk.
So, so those are the park factors at the top. So just in the calculation, it's a sort of a calculation.
Okay.
So they used 1.5% for the park factors, and that it's just balancing all of those factors together.
Okay. And just wanting to know how you utilize this in decision-making in parks, how you utilize the map itself. Do you go back to it when determining here's where we'll be putting money, or are there other ways that you're using this to guide new decisions in Parks and Rec?
Thank you for the question, Councilwoman. Our intention is to use this map for many decisions, whether it's around capital investments, around programming, we want equity to be our primary driving consideration for where we invest and where we provide services, recognizing that we have to provide services across the system, but where we're adding and where we're being thoughtful about leveling the playing field, this is just a tool for us in our decision making. So it is a part of all of our decisions. John, uses these when he looks at expenditures around equipment and services and hours, as you saw with the request for increasing hours there for our capital process. Every year we start the list and we ask those questions as we look at each, and the needs are great. There's always a long list of projects that we want to get done and that people want to see done, and we run those across this this sort of matrix. I will also point out that the department is also engaged, as we speak, in creating an equity mapping process so that that's a little bit more detailed. And this has guided us for a while, but we're engaged in creating an equity mapping process that we hope will be even more focused and can help guide our decisions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Sawyer?
Thank you. I think Councilwoman Kenich and I have kids who are the same age, and we use the rec centers very similarly, because I had a lot of the same questions that she had around furniture and sort of things for other kids. So the one thing that I would add to that, and I think is an equity issue and something we should consider as our vending contracts are coming up, is the food that we're putting in our vending machines and the food options that we are providing at our rec centers. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but if that's something that we can look at or talk about. I just think that, for the brothers and sisters who are sitting there and need, a healthier option for a snack than a Pop-Tart, that would be
Councilwoman, I'm so glad great. You said that. I was actually at a recreation center. I haven't even shared this with John yet the other day, and I said, why is this vending machine in here with these sodas? We were involved in a citywide project around with the Department of Environmental Health around vending options, and so have made a commitment to transition. So some of those may reflect existing contracts that we're letting expire, but I will tell you my intent is to ensure that as much as possible in a recreation center and with a commitment to health, as we have, that we are taking out gradually and then finally completely all of those unhealthy options. And people will have to go to 7-Eleven if they want unhealthy options, because eventually they will not be available in our recreation centers. And we recognize that that has an impact on revenues. These are sources of revenues, but I don't consider it a reasonable trade-off for what we're supposed to be promoting in terms of health of our community. And so we will eventually get there in terms of changing out all of those vending machines and providing healthier options. I will say this, though, the recreation centers have done a great job in collaboration with the Office of Children's Affairs in providing healthy meal options and snack options for our kids through our My Denver program, and that's been very successful. And I've actually observed with my own eyes, because you know how when you introduce these options to 7- and 8-year-olds and 9- and 10-year-olds, you know, they want to know where the other stuff is. But eventually they actually do walk into the room, grab the healthy snacks, and eat them. And so that is happening.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And my second question is more of a comment. Thank you for the upgrades to the Montclair Rec Center pool. It is used incredibly heavily, and it is a fantastic resource in District 5. So everyone I know uses it for birthday parties and swimming. It's amazing. So thank you very much. That is going to be an incredible opportunity for District 5. So thank you for that. My final question is around capital spending and upgrades for special needs kids and accessibility for playground equipment. I have a very good friend, family friend, that is working to help raise money through their personal foundation for that in partnership with Parks and Rec. And so I just would like to know a little bit more about the timeline on that and what sorts of capital expenditures are being made to make sure that kids with special needs and kids in wheelchairs are able to access our playgrounds as well.
So while I ask Kathleen, maybe, or Mike Bouchard to come to the microphone for any details, I will start by saying we're very excited about the partnership that we have to help us learn about providing more accessible playgrounds. So two things. One, in that partnership, we're looking for opportunities across our system to make adjustments and to add to existing playgrounds where we may not be doing a whole playground upgrade, to add facilities that will provide accessibility. So that is a strong, if I was to add some of the factors, and this is the reason why we're doing this equity mapping, because that will be one of the additional factors that we're using to guide some of those decisions. In all of our playgrounds across the system. But more specifically, we're looking to identify some specific playgrounds where we are going to be doing some total upgrades or replacements to ensure that accessibility is an important part of that process, and we're using that partnership to help guide us in that area. And so I don't know if Kathleen and Mike have anything to add.
I would just add that, first of all, you answered that very well. That is what we're doing. And we're trying to move beyond thinking about it in terms of accessibility and thinking about it in terms of inclusivity and moving towards a truly inclusive. Every playground should have some elements that are inclusive, and we are looking to do some specific ones where the entire playground will be inclusive.
And I'll point, Paco Sanchez Park is a perfect example of how we incorporated those inclusivity principles in a major park renovation.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much for doing that. And I just, if I can just shameless plug here, also, kids with special needs sometimes don't look like they have special needs, right? So there are a lot of kids with sensory issues or things that mm-hmm. are, you know, autism, things that they struggle with that don't have a physical disability. And I just would remind you, as you're looking at different park upgrades, it would be fantastic if there are things that we could do that would include those kids as well. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. And so we're using that research and using the expertise of individuals both around inclusivity. We're focusing on a number of our parks around very young children and using the guidance of those experts in play for very young children to guide our thinking about how we design our future playgrounds.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have one more councilman in the queue. Councilman Cashman, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your efforts at herding the cats. I have two areas that I'll ask you and would ask you get me the information offline. I have been going through the pages trying to get a comprehensive picture of where we're at with our investment in our mountain parks. I find 81,000 for vehicles, page 20 has 590,000 of 2A dollars, another 300,000 on page 24. If I could get a comprehensive summary of this budget's investment in the mountain park system, I'd appreciate that.
Sure.
And then the other area that I'm looking for is our sister cities park program, which I believe has been chronically underfunded in administrative staff. I think that program has the ability to make a real contribution in cultural exchange with our partners. So if I can get some information on sister cities.
So Councilman, the sister cities program is not run out of our department. We do have parks that are related to the sister city. So how we maintain and design and so on those parks is just like every other park in the system. We do get requests from time to time from the sister cities organizations around needs or some additions that they would like to see in those parks. And I will tell you this, we would welcome a sort of more robust partnership and involvement with our sister city organizations in helping guide us on those parks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you all. That concludes our budget presentation for Parks and Rec. Thank you, Happy, for your presentation. And we'll
thank
take a 4 or 5 minute break. Yeah.